Jonah 2, and I'll be reading from the NASB version. Jonah's prayer, Jonah 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountain. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, that which I have vowed to pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded a fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. So that was Jonah 2. And just a little sharing. Yesterday was house church for me. And during house church, there was an observation as we were going around discussing Sundays. We were actually sharing our own testimonies, and we were going around, each person sharing their own testimonies. And at the end, when everybody has shared, there was an observation made by one of our house church members who said, oh, there are some similarities between people who basically grew up in a Christian family, in that their story is pretty similar, in that they're, when compared to those who didn't grow up in a Christian family, and that those who had a dramatic testimony with quotation marks, it's not the same, because like for those with a Christian life, it seems like there isn't like an exact point in life where there's like a dramatic change. And why I'm sharing this is because I think this is exactly where Jonah is at, like, or what Jonah is like. For me, I'm one of those who grew up in a Christian family. From young, I knew that I was taught that God was real. I knew that God was real from a very young age. All the way up to now, I never saw like where there's like a drastic change where I was doing all the bad things, and then suddenly I met God, and then suddenly I'm doing all the good things. But for me, it was ingrained in me that I had to do the right things, with quotation marks again, all the way from when I was a kid, right? And so for me, my story isn't like a caterpillar to butterfly transformation, where it's like a metamorphosis, where you go from one thing that looks like this into something that has beautiful wings and can fly around. Mine was more like a gradual change, as like a tadpole. When a tadpole changes to a frog, even though when you compare them side to side, it's so different, but you don't really notice the change as it grows. It's like slowly, its legs come out slowly, the tail goes in. It's not like a huge transformation where you go from like a creepy crawly into a butterfly, but it was a more gradual change. And I think for Jonah, it is similar. And like last week, as I shared, Jonah's like one of the most relatable prophets or characters in the Bible already for me. And I think this just made it even more, like as we look into Jonah 2. Obviously, we need some context. I'm sure all of you have heard the story of Jonah, some context into the next few chapters to see that. But right now, right here, as we see in Jonah 2, in his prayer to the Lord, we see a change, basically, from who he was running away and then getting thrown into the ocean and then getting gulped up by a fish. We see him now, he is praying. And as we go into Jonah's prayer, which I don't know, if you dismiss or you take away the first verse and the last verse, does it sound very similar to you guys? When I was reading it, I was like, I could just read this and tell people it's from the Psalms and nobody would doubt me. Because, I mean, if you look through it, it's very, very similar to the Psalms. And basically, you could, I did some like research, and I did some like Googling research, just Googling. I went onto Google and I was like, Jonah 2 cross references, and then there's this site that gives a lot of cross references, and then basically as I click through each of the verse, they're like, all of them are referring to like Psalms. There's like Psalm 16, Psalm 61, Psalm 69, Psalm 31, and then there's so many, all of them. Basically, if you did like a cut and paste or Control C, Control V, Jonah just picked different verses and put them into this prayer, it felt like. But more on that later. Right now, let's look into what his actual prayer was. So I was reading this commentary, and then it divided up this whole chunk of verses into six different points. And I quite agree with all of the section, even though some sections were only one verses. It was only one verse, but it still worked. And so the first thing that we see in Jonah's prayer was the great distress and danger he was in. I mean, this one was pretty obvious because he just got thrown off a boat and then he got swallowed by a fish. You can see this in verse 2, verse 3, verse 5, verse 6, where we see he is crying out. He's like, oh man, so distressed. He's like, I called out of my distress to the Lord and he answered me. I cried out for help from death of Sheol. That was in verse 2. And in verse 3, he talked about how he was cast into the deep and then he was engulfed. And then with all these despair and distress going on, in verse 4, he says, I've been expelled from your sight. And then this was huge distress. But immediately in the same verse, he says, nevertheless, I will look towards your holy temple. This was the encouragement that he took, even though the whole condition that he was in was very bad. Bad being an understatement. And then even though all these things were happening, we see in verse 6 and verse 7, he found assurance that he had God's favor. I descended to the roots of the mountain. The earth with its bar was around me forever. This is verse 6, but in the same verse it says, but you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. In verse 7, while I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. So he had assurance that God's favor was with him, even though he was going through all this. And then the next part, it's like the warning and instruction he gives to others. In verse 8, those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. And then in verse 9, finally everything comes down to giving praise and glory to God. In verse 9 it says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Now, this is very interesting to me as I was reading, is that usually if you were just thinking of the whole context of what was happening in Jonah, right? Jonah disobeyed the Lord. You would think that his prayer would be one of repentance, right? But if you look carefully, there really isn't any reference to, oh, I repent. Oh, forgive me, O Lord. Instead, it's more leaning towards, oh, all these trouble and God saved me, and then a thanksgiving. So there are a few ways of looking at this, and there are quite opposing. On one side, there are people who is like, oh, obviously, if we look at his actions before, his actions after, and then we look at his wording, Jonah's not being real right here. He's just sprouting out different verses from scripture. On the other hand, we have people who are saying that, oh, look at this beautiful prayer that Jonah has prayed. This is very legitimate. This is something that he is expressing and he's praising God for because God did save him. I think it all comes down to Jonah's heart, that whether this prayer was authentic or whether he was just sprouting verses. And we won't be able to tell. I don't know his heart. You don't know his heart. Everybody else doesn't know his heart except for God. And God knows Jonah's heart and Jonah well and Jonah as well. And so we can judge from the different words that he used. We can judge from his later actions, but we will never know whether or not this prayer like is fully, like this side says it's he's just sprouting verses, or on this side he's really, really changed, right? But I'm not here to make a judgment call on which side he really is. I have my own ideas, but for me, I think something that I took encouragement from was that my life is just, it's kind of, well, not encouragement, but it was more like a realization from, is that my life is kind of like his prayer sometimes. When I am in distress or when I am sinning, I knew that God was always with me, right? And so for me, this is just a personal sharing. I never denied that God was real, even when I had my own stage of life where I wasn't fully walking in God's will. I knew, this kind of makes it worse, because I knew that God was real. I knew that Jesus is my Savior and he died for me. But at the same time, being fully aware, I still chose to do things that are not pleasing to him, that I chose to sin, basically knowing full well that what I'm doing is wrong. And I think a lot of times for me, and for maybe for those who grew up in a church or know from a very young age that God is real, it's really difficult to find that one spot where we turn to God. But at the same time, there are a lot of different little spots we see God working in us, right? And so I think, like this prayer, like, okay, so this would be coming from my point of view. Like this prayer, I think it is the constant struggle. I don't think that the future actions of Jonah, which we will read in next 2 weeks, defines whether his prayer right now was authentic. I don't think we could make a judgment call immediately because of what he did later on and say that his prayer was not real, it was not from his heart, and that he never repented, or that he never really gave glory to God, or that he was just saying these words just to get out of the fish or something, right? Because I think we as fallen people, we can have authentic and intimate moments with God, and then in the right and then at the next moment we fall again. It is not, and just because we fall immediately, it doesn't make that moment right before with God fake, or it doesn't make it any less real. It doesn't make it any less intimate. I think we have to give grace to ourselves sometimes in that, and know for a fact that we are fallen people. We cannot discount our relationship with God, our intimacy with God, just because we did something that was not pleasing to him the next moment. Because I know sometimes, even for me personally, when that happens, when I get, when I do something terrible, knowing full well that it was not something I should be doing, I fall into the trap and the lies where it's like, oh, you know that it was wrong, you still did it. What does that mean? That means you never had a relationship with God. That means you, all these 20-some years that you called yourself a Christian, that wasn't true. And that you might as well just give it up. But that's not true, right? We are all fallen people. We are all sinful people. And when we do sin, it doesn't make your relationship with God any less real. So what do we do looking at this prayer? What do we do? Regardless of how you view Jonah's prayer or how his attitude is, I think we can learn from both sides, right? It's like for the bad parts, where we see, did he actually repent? We can learn from that and make sure that when we are praying for repentance, we are actually praying for repentance and not just stating all the other things like, oh, I'm in such a condition and all that. We have to make sure that when we are praying for repentance, we actually repent. And from the good part, I think Jonah's prayer was really beautiful. I don't know about you guys, but it's basically like a psalm, right? And so it is really good actually to pray scripture. And it's also very easy because you just go to Psalm and there are so many, there's 150 Psalms. I'm sure at least 10 of them will be speaking of the same situation that you might be in. And it's really, like sometimes you can't find the words. You just have to go to Psalms. like Jonah probably did. And I think as we pray and as we learn how to pray, first of all, we have to learn to make sure that when we're repenting, we're actually repenting. And then also maybe take some verses to pray, to use as words. But in the end, as we go down and we go see verse 9, we come to realize, or we come to see that in the end, it wasn't Jonah's prayer that saved him. It was God. God was the one who saves. God is the one who says salvation comes from the Lord. In verse 9, it says, Jonah's prayer didn't save him. It was God who saved him. We have to remember, in the end, no matter how beautiful our prayers are, or no matter how not beautiful, or sometimes we don't have the words for our prayers, it is God who is the one doing the saving. We can't do anything. It was God. It's God's love and God's grace that finally took Jonah from the belly. In verse 10, he commanded the fish and vomited Jonah up onto dry land. It was God who did it. So we have to always remember that in the end, we look to God. And so as Wes comes up and lead us into some praise, let us continue worshiping the Lord in not only in song, but also just in prayer, in just describing God's favor to you, like how Jonah prayed, even though you might be in a terrible situation. And also, if you're really called to, or you feel that there's a need to, just really repent as well. Because sometimes we just do a quick, oh God forgive me, kind of prayer, and are we really repenting? So let us go into song as Wesley says, and let's pray, and let's meditate and pray.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit. Restore unto me
Yes, Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we just thank you for your love, regardless of what we're going through, Lord. Your love is always there, and we know that even in everything, all the difficulties, all the despair, all the distress that we might be going through, Lord, that you are always there. That even as we're engulfed in the waters, even as there's seaweed in our hair, or just feel like we're drowning, Lord, we know that you are there. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And that regardless of what we do, where we are, you are there. And Lord, we can constantly, constantly be looking at you and looking for you. Because we know that you, Lord, are there. And so, Lord, as we come today and as we pray, as we seek our hearts, Lord, we pray for your forgiveness, Lord, for places where, or for things that we have done, even things that we might not know have upset you or have sinned against you, Lord, we lift it up to you. We ask for forgiveness, Lord. Lord, and we just thank you because it is you who sent your Son down, who died for us on the cross, and was risen 3 days later. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus. And Jesus, we just thank you for the cross where you have forgiven us so thoroughly. And Lord, let us not be afraid to reach out to you even when we have done wrong. Let us not give in to the lies that we don't have a relationship with you just because of what we have done, or we can no longer draw close to you, or that all the times we felt close to you were fake. Lord, give us just help us understand, Lord, that you never leave us, and that your love never changes. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your never changing love once again. And we praise you, Lord. We worship you. And Lord, as we continue our prayers for our brothers and sisters, we pray that we never forget that you are the one who works, Lord. It's not what we do, but Lord, it is you. And so we ask, we just ask fervently, Lord, that you listen to our prayers. We thank you that you do. And yeah, let's pray for our community, for those fighting cancer and those undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for those who are sick and needs to know Jesus. Let's pray for healing, and that God will just touch your hearts and let them meet Jesus as your personal Savior. Let's pray for those with our infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing over them as well. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs and pray for God's providence for a job and also right now for them. Let's go to our missions focus. Let's pray for different church plants. Singapore with SBSG, Indonesia with SPIN, Philippines with SPIL, and SP New York in the U.S. And pray for not only the churches, but also those who are leading them. Peace Sam Kim, Peace Salama, Pierney, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's pray for our education ministries, SP Kids, led by P. Mary and Lisa, SP Youth, led by Donald, and SPU, led by P. Andrew. And pray for all your growth in Christ, in your spiritual growth, and also physical growth, that God would take care of them. Let's pray for our IP team, The Well and the River, led by Matt and Rachel. Let's pray for God's wisdom in, for them in leading these ministries, and also pray for protection over them and their family. Let's pray for the evening outreaches, SP Lights and Homey, which is currently suspended. But let's continue praying for the, not only the ministers, but those who they're ministering to. Just pray for God's love to be with them no matter what, and that they will know it. Let us pray for the house churches that are meeting tonight. East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, Westville, Mike Robinson. Let's pray that as they gather for fellowship, that God would be with them and that their discussions would bear good fruit. Let's pray for Hong Kong, this place that we're living in. Let's pray for the leaders of this place that they would have God's wisdom in leading throughout COVID. And let's also continue praying for or against COVID, and that that in the new normal that we're going through, that we will never, that we'll be able to, that Hong Kong, I guess, will be able to just pass through the whole thing. So Lord, we just come, we just thank you for, we know that you listen to our prayers, Lord, and we just thank you that you are who you are and you're always there. Lord, we just thank you. And as we go into our day today, Lord, we ask that we never forget your presence, you're always there. And Lord, help us be salt and light. Help us be missionaries to wherever we're called to in our daily lives, Lord. We just thank you and pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.